Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host tonight, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On tonight, we are going to actually review an article that was written entitled "Protesters Slam Oprah Winfrey for Leadership Comments." And the reason why I wanted to bring this to your attention is because this is a segue right into the issue of saving our youth, because all of this ties in one way or the other, because we all work on character. And speaking of character, I'm going to be live and in person on tomorrow, God's will, speaking to our youth and to the adults about it's not in the brand name, it's in your character. And so I wanted to touch on this article as the Lord gave me, because I wanted to give an unbiased perspective as the Lord showed me, and I want us to be aware of what's going on and what we can do to help alleviate many things that's happening within this world. And I say within this world because there is a whole spectrum of all of you listening to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, and we represent so many cities and states and countries that you can make a profound impact within your area. And so without further ado, this is a talk show ministry. And so I am going to still read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and I'm going to still pray. And that's what's going to happen when I come on to speak about different issues and things like that. But that is our main focus today. Then after which we will have our announcements. Then I will bid you good night. And then remember to tune in tomorrow, God's will, as I will come live to you and we will speak about character. It's in the character, not the brand. Okay? So here we go. Psalms 136, numbers 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And without further ado, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, Lord. You started us on our way, Lord, and you kept us all night long, Lord. And now we're back to nighttime, Lord, and you said that we must work while it's day, because when night cometh, you said, no man worketh. And Lord, we thank you for affording us the opportunity just to be able to be in your presence one more time, Lord. We yield up our eyes and our hands unto you, Lord, and we ask that you continue to lead us in the path of righteousness, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless this ministry to be filled with the rich word of God. We ask that you bless those who are coming in and going out for whatever place they're going in and coming out, Lord. Would you bless them and protect them and be a shield all around them, Lord. We ask, Lord, as we prepare to go into your house on tomorrow, God's will, that our hearts will be filled with the Holy Spirit and our eyes will continue to look towards heaven way, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the peace that surpasses all understanding in our lives. We thank you for the happiness and the joy, for you being the center of our joy, Lord. We ask as we begin to minister to people and go out and touch people all over this world, Lord, we ask, will we be genuine and will we be real, Lord, in what we do, Heavenly Father? We ask, would you cleanse our minds and our hearts at this particular hour, at this particular second, Lord, and would you help us to just be into the ultimate presence of you, Lord? We ask that, would you bless any social issue, any misunderstandings and communications to be clarified through the holy word of God, Lord? We thank you for the rich word. We thank you for the grace and mercy. We thank you for the healing power. We thank you for the restoration. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for just the anointing that's pouring over our lives. Now, Lord, we thank you for those who you are sending to the ministry, those, Heavenly Father, who you are keeping in the ministry, Lord. We ask that our words continue to be purified and holy and acceptable in your sight, Lord. We ask, would you bring more of the Spirit of God up to the forefront, Lord, and would you sit the spirit of hatred and evil, illness and malice down, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for continuing to be there for us, for continuing to bless us and help us, and for continuing to keep us, Lord. We ask, would you bless our jobs? Would you bless the children, Lord? Would you bless each and every person, Lord, who comes in contact with us, Lord? We ask, would you bless us to show them the way to you, Heavenly Father? And we know that we are only here a few days. And because we're only here a few days, we ask, would you bless us to live with purpose? Would you bless us to live with plans? And would you bless us to live in the will of God? We thank you for divine recoveries. We thank you for those who are in the hospitals, those who are coming out. We thank you for the healing power. We thank you for the strength that you're giving us day by day, Lord. And we ask, would you bless each person who is listening to the sound of the Holy Spirit? Would you give them what they need in their hearts, Lord? Would you give them breakthroughs? Would you bless them in a major, 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 major way, Lord? We ask, would you bless their families and their children and their spouses and any other person, Lord, that's in their circle, Lord? We ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to help us to relate that uncompromising word? And now, Lord, as we dismiss this particular prayer, we ask that we never be out of your sight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That was Jesus, the Center of My Joy by Mr. Richard Smallwood. That was the instrumental version. And now the part that we are going to transition into is looking at an article that was written, and you can actually Google this article, and it's entitled Protesters Slam Oprah Winfrey for Leadership Comments. And we're going to speak about this particular article just for a little bit because we are trying to move to the position where we create nonviolence, as the former Dr. Martin Luther King tried to teach the people back in the day. And also we're leaning towards saving our youth. So this article and analyzing this article and giving you knowledge and wisdom about where we're moving to is very essential. Now, I want to say, first of all, in looking at the title, Protesters Slam Oprah Winfrey for Leadership Comments. Now, as a writer, we all write to grab individuals' attention. And so as we are trying to lessen the tension of the people in America and those who are across America, we want to make sure that our titles are catchy, yet they're not offensive, especially when we're speaking about a very sensitive issue, which this particular issue is that protesters are upset because Ms. Oprah Winfrey basically said that there is no strategies or plans in place, especially for the marches that have been taking place. Okay, the Eric Garner March and the Michael Brown March. Those were examples utilized in a particular article. Now, let's talk about the title first, Protesters Slam Oprah Winfrey for Leadership Comments. Okay, when looking at this particular article, you already know that it's a heated event, and so your guards are up, whether you're on the protester side or whether you're saying, you know what, I really agree with this article. And so when we write, especially with sensitive material, we need to make sure and we need to be cognizant that we write it in a creative way that will catch individuals' attention, but it will not cause division between the unity of people. That's, as writers, a good writer can always catch the attention of the people, and they can bring in emotions, but there's always a unified coming together. And so when we say slam, the first thing I think about is when Mr. Eric Garner was on the ground, he was slammed to the ground. That's the first thing I think about. And so if I was a protester, all right, and I was reading this article, I would automatically be, my guards would be up because I'm saying, I'm looking at an article that says slam. And so I already know that before I read this article, it's going to be about aggression because that catches people's attention. It really does. And so when we look at this particular title, A Peaceful Way, since we're moving towards peace, and I know this sounds very minute, but a peaceful way to basically say it is protesters disagree with Oprah Winfrey's comments concerning leadership. And we still know there's a division, but then my guards kind of come down because I said, oh, I've disagreed with some things. But when we say slam, and this is already a sensitive issue, then we start dividing people, making teams, okay? So let's be cognizant titles, okay? Disagree is a better term, all right? Because we feel like now if I was Oprah and I was reading this, I would say, okay, I'm being attacked. I'm not being attacked physically, but I'm being attacked in an article that is attacking my character. And I just basically stated my opinion, okay? So that's the first thing. Let's just make sure that when we're trying to bring peace in, especially when we're speaking about policemen and women, we're speaking about our youth who are dying in the streets, when we're speaking about anything of that nature, since we're trying to move towards peace and we're going to get into that, let's be cognizant of the titles. Okay, let's move on. The problem. What is the problem? And I'm teaching the youth this as well, because when you are analyzing stories, you have to understand what the conflict or problem is. The problem is, according to the protesters and the writer, Oprah is saying that demonstrators or any type of demonstrations concerning the police treatment of African Americans lack leadership. That's the problem. And protesters are saying that leadership is established and that leadership is modeled, and Oprah is saying that she doesn't see it. So we already know there is a conflict without saying slam. We already know that the protesters are saying we have our ducks in order, and Oprah is saying this is not leadership, okay? Now let's move on to Selma. She gives an example. And she says in the movie Selma, which we're going to go see on the 9th, she says that there are many strategies that are used. I know in the trailer I saw a lot of people communicating. It was very unified. Now, before they were actually involved in the marches, he had to go through a lot. He had to go through speaking to the president, and he had to go speak to some other individuals so they can get everyone together. He was sending telegrams. He was sending many forms of communication. And so when it was time, when it was game time to march, they were all unified, although a lot of chaos broke out. But guess what? God says even in the storm of life, when you are walking in the will of God, he says every day, as I said before, it's not going to be Sunday, right? And some things are going to happen. Evil is going to come unto you. But God says that he will uphold you. He will uphold you. Excuse me. That's what God says. So even though it was chaos in the midst of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being so organized, right, in his marching, they still met their desired goal, which was to allow people who were disenfranchised to vote, period. God didn't say that it was going to be peaceful while you're in the process of walking in his will. He didn't say that. He said you're going to encounter some disagreements, like we could have put in this article. He says you're going to encounter some people who are evil. He says, but you have to remain in character, and you have to move forward. You have to press, and that's what Dr. Martin Luther King did. Those marches were not peaceful at all. They held it together because they were in the will of God, and they had a strategy, and they had a plan. Okay? So that's what she's saying. All right? Now, she went on to say she agreed with the marching, but she says she is seeking or looking for leadership. And she asked these particular questions, and when she asked these particular questions, I answered them because I wanted us to be aware of what we could do. If you're thinking about organizing something, or if you're thinking about having a march, then here are the questions. She said, what do you want? But I filled it in, what do you desire? What is it that we desire? And the answer to that, according to the marches and these young men who are dying in the streets, the desire is for a mindset to change. And we're not only speaking about the mindset of our youth, we're speaking about the mindset of our office men. Now, when we look at our policemen and women, we understand that they have a job. And when we look at our youth, we understand that they have a purpose and a job as well. Okay? The police individual's job is to maintain the safety of all citizens, right? The youth job and the citizen's job is to obey the rules. We have to change the mindset. We have to start becoming obedient. As far as the police are concerned, they have to not so much react on impulse. They're going to need prayer too, because there's a lot of acting on impulse. And when you act on impulse, then bad things happen. We understand that the job is to keep us safe, and the job is to make sure that individuals aren't hurting public servants. But at the same time, we have to keep them safe. And so the desire within these marches consists of a mindset. Once we're able to help people change their mind and rearrange their mind and their priorities and their emotions, then we are able to move on to the next level. And the next level is change. That's the next level. When we think about, and I'm bringing ministry in, when we think about Saul on that Damascus road, he didn't see Jesus at all, but he saw the burning bush, and Jesus began to speak to him. Why are you persecuting the church? He asked him those questions. And so the desire is to change the mindset through what? Communication. But what's happening and what Oprah is saying is that people are just showing up to show their support, but there's no communication. Nobody's going to the mayor speaking. Nobody's going to the police chief and calling everybody together in one room trying to figure out how we can solve this problem. Everybody wants to march, and that's good. But we have to come up with a plan first. What is it that we desire? I told you earlier, I said, you know, I've sat in so many workshops and seminars about America and about our youth. What are we going to do? We know that they're in poverty. We know that they're at risk. We know all this stuff. But what is it that we really desire? And the desire is change, a change of mindset. If we could get people to change their minds, then we can do a lot. Okay? So she said, what do you want? What do you desire? And our desire should be a mindset that is changed through communication, effective communication. Number two, what has to change? We have to change the fatality rates of our African-American men as well as our other youth. We have to do that. Of policemen and women who just act on impulse. It's true. We know they have a job to do. We know that we have some hard-headed citizens, and the citizens are going to have to change their behavior as well. The hard-headedness, not obeying. They tell you to walk on the sidewalk, walk on the sidewalk. You know, if you go in the store, buy what you need and come out the store. Keep your hands and feet to yourself with the police. You know, if they're not an immediate threat, you don't have to kill them. You know, you can tase them, you can pepper spray them, you can do all that. But we're trying to preserve lives on both ends because now we're in chaos. You know, people are afraid to even be stopped by police. They're already, their defenses are already up and the police are already ready because they know that people feel that way. And so we have to come together. We have to desire a mindset change. Then after that, what has to change? Our behaviors. Our behaviors. Stop being hard-headed. Just do the right thing. Police, if they're not doing anything, leave them alone. Keep moving. If you have a reasonable doubt, then stop them. Don't act on impulse. Give people an opportunity to investigate. We have to change behavior. So we're changing the mind and we're changing behaviors. Okay? What steps are we going to take? And this is what Oprah was talking about. She says, I'm looking for leadership. A leader is that person who do not necessarily lead from the front, but they facilitate. They make sure that everything is together. When you have someone at the front, right, you don't know what's going on in the back. They're a good leader and a good follower. But balance that act out, right, because you need the people who are following behind you. You need their input so that you can have a great idea. So it's great to call up people for these protests. Call them up for the different protests. It's great to do that, right? So when you call up all these people for the particular protest, then you need to make sure that you appoint someone in a leadership role, or it could be two people. And the reason why I say we need to appoint someone so that that one person can get the voice of the people and get their perspectives and then come up with a unified method. Does it not make sense to have 30 people come up with an idea and you're bickering and fighting about which idea is the best? You have one or two people appointed before all these marches take place who is going to help lead the forefront. In the 50s and 60s, Dr. Martin Luther King took the lead. He was the one who was appointed. Actually, he appointed himself because he's the one that initiated all of these marches. So you're going to have someone who's faithful and loyal, someone who wants peace, someone who has a balanced mentality, someone who is a people person to lead the people. That's what we need, okay? So appoint. You know, before we do all these protests and marches, we must appoint someone. Or two people. Number two, communication. Communication is very important. Even in the military, in your jobs, communication is very important. Even those who cannot speak, they communicate with their hands because that's how important communication is. When you are appointed as the leader or when you are a follower as far as you're going to help in this endeavor, right? Your voice must be heard as well. Now, the leader can't shoot down everything you say because that's not a leader. The leader listens and say, okay, that's something to think about. But have you thought about this? Or they'll make you feel, in other words, a part of the mission. It's not all about what they want. They'll consider. So you want a leader who will listen, even if he doesn't or she doesn't take what strategies you have. But communication is very important. Each person has a purpose. You have to appoint each person within your team. When I was a coach, right, volleyball, basketball, you're the point guard, you're the wing, you're the forward, you know. You have to appoint people so that they will know their particular jobs. That's part of communication, okay? So appoint and communicate. Then number three, this is where some of the protests went kind of left, okay? What are the boundaries? You know, when I was looking at the different protests on TV and I was researching and I was reading, you know, I saw police cars being flipped over and burned. I saw a church being burned. Lord have mercy. I saw people fighting. One person reported that their teeth were knocked out. One gentleman, he was shot and killed. Several people were, you know, just ran over. And, I mean, it was just chaotic. Why? Because we didn't have anyone appointed to lead that. And we're talking about both sides. We're talking about on the police side and on the people side. When you meet, if strategies and things have been put in place, right, the demonstrations could have still taken place and the police could have still been out there because you're going to have one or two who's going to test the limits anyways. But for the most part, we could have spared many lives. We could have spared that church. But there's so much hatred and chaos going on. Why? Because there's not a leader, because we're not appointing individuals, and we're not speaking to each other. All we're doing is going out there taking action. I'm going to take action. I'm going to show my support. And I support that because I don't believe that people should die. You know, I just don't believe in that. But in showing your support, there is, the Bible says, do things decent and in order. Right? And decent and in order is not burning up cars and flipping over cars. I will say for the Michael Brown protest, the parents did ask that the protesters act in a peaceful manner. But at times that didn't happen, right? So we need to make sure that we set boundaries. That's part of meeting with people. When you're going to have protests and marches, you need to talk to the mayor. You need to talk to the police chief. You need to talk to the citizens. You need to find out who the movers and shakers are in your community, and you need to sit down, and y'all need to have a meeting so that boundaries can be set. Boundaries need to be set, period. Just like in basketball, there are boundaries. Football, there are boundaries. Volleyball, boundaries. When you're at school, we have expectations. When you go out of those expectations, then there's consequences. But as far as the eye could see, what boundaries were set? When churches were being blown up and memorials or flowers that people put down for individuals were destroyed, people were dying in the streets. Somebody got hit in the mouth. Somebody got their teeth knocked out. I mean, that's out of control because no one was appointed. The communication, there was little to none. And then the boundaries, what are the expectations, okay? Then what is it that we desire? What is it that we desire? We desire a reduction of police brutality. Now, let me define this. Police brutality is not arresting someone, okay? It's not if someone's holding someone hostage and police have to take someone down, that's justifiable. But we're talking about all of these unarmed people who have passed away. We're talking about, you know, roughhousing, basically, with individuals. A pregnant woman was slammed on the ground or something like that. You know, a professor was walking across the street and she was hit. You know, there's a way to give people consequences without abusing them. There's a way to do it, and we have to find out what the way is. I understand. We have hard-headed people. When I was in school, we had hard-headed people. There are hard-headed people in the streets today. There are hard-headed people everywhere you go. But there is a way to reduce the brutality and the fatalities, and we have to find out what that way is. And the first thing is, first of all, the mindset has to change, okay? Number two, the death rates, I continuously say this, of our African-American males, 40% homicide, right? And that's 40% homicide as in someone else killed them. Now, the police brutality rate is probably, I would guess, 30%. Excuse me. The death rates within the streets of the police is probably 30%. And I'm still doing that research. We have a high rate of African-Americans being killed in the streets. At home, we're going to have to do our jobs. In the community, we're going to have to do our jobs. And the police are going to have to do their job. But the youth are going to also have to do their job, too, because we can't be with them 24-7. They're going to have to stop being hard-headed, and I'm just being honest, some of them. And they're going to have to start listening and obeying rules. some of the stuff could have been avoided if they just did what they're supposed to do, period. On the other hand, there were situations where they were not at fault. So it goes both ways, right? Investigate before react, as the police side. Then for the youth, don't be hard-headed. Just obey the rules. It's that simple. But that starts, once again, at home. All right? Then we talk about raising youth of character. And this is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because this conference is based on raising youth of character. We're going to have to start being examples for our children, whether we're at home, whether we're at the school, the churches, in the streets, wherever. I was watching, I was at a place, a particular place, and there was a gentleman who was just cursing in front of his children, who was only like 5 or 6. And then when they go to the organizations or schools and do it and get in trouble, then you get on them. Why? They're watching you. They got that from you. You know? So we have to be very careful what we display in front of our youth. And that's everywhere because they're always watching. When we talk about character and we speak about character, we're speaking about the ability to be able to walk into a place and be successful and be obedient. That's it. Character is all about obedience. That's what character is about. It's about understanding when to keep your mouth closed and when to open it. It's about being obedient and following the rules and understanding your rights. That's what character is. And in a lot of these cases, if you look at our males who have died in the streets, they go back to character. What happened when they were in school? What happened during this place? What happened during that place? They go back to character. They don't worry about that they had on $200 pair of J's or they had on a whatever type of Michael Kors shirt, tire. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. They talk about their character, which carries way more weight than what you have on, believe it or not. If you had on a big jacket, your character weighs more than your jacket. Character is very important, and that's what's happening to our youth, period. Some of them being hard-headed, not listening, and then things happen. For our police, you're reacting too quickly, and we're not following the protocol and investigating. And so then we have fatalities because why? Fear. That's what I'm writing about. Because of fear of the unknown. This person over here, the youth, is scared that they're going to get arrested and they're going to be roughhoused because that's all they see and hear. And then the police, they fear, believe it or not, because of your background or because of you being disobedient. So they have to protect themselves, and you're trying to protect yourself, and in the same time, both of you are trying to protect each other, and somebody's going to end up losing. Instead of both of you communicating, or instead of us following the directions, we refuse to do what we're supposed to do. The question is, what are we willing to do to get there? What are we willing to do to get to those areas that we said about desiring a mindset change or to appoint and communicate, set boundaries? What are we willing to do to get there? The first thing is communicate. Communication is very important. Why is communication important? Because you can set your expectations at that level of communication. You can set boundaries. Anytime you get ready to play a sport, whether it's basketball, volleyball, whatever sport that you desire to play, doesn't matter what it is, right, then you have a job to do, which is the referee calls over two people who are the, what, team captains, just like I just said that. All right? He communicates with them and say, or she communicates with them and say, all right, for this particular game, I'm going to toss up this coin. You tell me heads or tails. These lines are out of bounds, you know. And he gives, or she gives, the rules of the game. And that's exactly how we should do when establishing these marches. instead of just going out there. We understand that, you know, people are supporting. That's good. But we have to have some order, because we're going to lose a lot more lives just protesting than we are in the streets, because we're not effective with it. And that's what Oprah is saying. She said it's not effective because so many people are still getting hurt. The whole purpose of the march is to prevent people from getting hurt and to press our voices, which is that, no, we don't want our youth killed in the street. But it's so much chaos going on that now people are getting beat up and hit, and tension is rising, and it's just out of control, and it really is. So let's move on. Then, so we have communication, then we had a plan, right? We talk about what is the plan. The plan is to reduce police brutality, but allowing them to still do their job, and to decrease the death rates, and to raise youth of character. That's the plan. How are we going to get to that plan? We're going to demonstrate it through peaceful marches, working together in a unified body. When we're in the community and when we're at school, we're going to act peacefully, and we're going to demonstrate. Learning is demonstration. That's it. Learning is demonstration, demonstrating the expectation. But if people are out there burning up cars, burning up God's house, and hitting folks in the top of the head and spinning around and turn, I mean, what do we expect the youth to do or to continue to do? Because they're upset now. Why? Because their family members are getting hurt when they are trying to support them. Right? So we must act in a civilized manner at all times and at all expenses, because our youth are watching us. Okay? So communicate, plan, demonstrate. That's what we're going to do to get there. But it must be, as Oprah said, it must be peaceful. There must be some leadership, and that's all she's saying. And even if Oprah didn't say it, if somebody else said it, I'd agree with it. Because we do need leadership, and leadership is bringing people together, communicating the expectations, and executing in a peaceful, a decent, and orderly manner. I'm going to tell you this as the Lord gave it to me. Support is good. All of those marches, that was excellent. I applaud each person who was out there marching, because I feel the same way. But there's going to be a repeat of the same thing if we do not have leadership, if we do not plan, communicate, and execute, and demonstrate. It's going to be a repeat. Why? Because there is no order. People are not speaking to officials to put plans into action. Everybody just wants to demonstrate. When we think about Trayvon Martin, we had a lot of marches. Guess how many young men after him passed away in the streets? Same way. Except his wasn't with the police, but it was a homicide, period. We want to reduce these numbers. We need to make that known. I want to reduce the youth death rates in the street, especially our African-American males. You know, if we take a poll of how many African-American males have passed away this particular year in the streets, it's more than 10. I know that. It's way more than 10. So that's too many. One is too many. But it's going to be a repeat, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continuously have this problem. We're going to continuously be at odds with the officials, with people. We're going to continuously have racial tension, which is unnecessary because we all need one another. We're going to continuously have problems in the youth community because they're upset because of what's going on. We're going to continuously have the youth who defy the police because of fear, because of what has happened in the past to other individuals who look like them. And I'm just being honest. So an analysis of this article, right? Protesters slam Oprah Winfrey for leadership comments. In my view, and in looking at the research and in analyzing this, she's exactly right. And it doesn't matter if Oprah said it or if some unknown person said it. It's exactly right. Because even with these marches, we still have chaos. There is no reason why that church should have been burned. The police car turned over, people fighting in the streets. And you're going to have one or two who act up like that because of tension, because no one sat down and spoke as a group and said, this is what we're going to do. We have to put a plan in place. Yes, there need to be marches. But we need to study what Dr. King did. We understand, as I said before, as I wrap up, we understand that they had happenings such as what we're experiencing, right? They had water holes and, you know, just brutality. It was just horrible. And it's a repeat. Why? Because still, you know, once Dr. Martin Luther King set that up, and when he passed away, we kind of dropped the baton and walked off the track. And now we're back to square one trying to figure out what to do. And the answer is not to go and just act. Sometimes the answer is sit down and think. What can we do to help our youth? I'm not happy that Trayvon Martin passed away. I'm not happy about the Eric Brown situation. I'm not happy about the Garner situation. I'm not happy about our young men of any color or women who die in the streets or who are killed by someone. I'm not happy at all. But we're going to have to come up with something that's decent and in order, right? And it starts with, as she said, leadership. It starts with leadership, and that is sitting down first, coming up with a plan of action, then unifying the people together, giving each person a purpose. And if you have hundreds of people like those marches had, then you're going to have to tell them, you know why you're out here marching. And then you have to set those boundaries, period, point blank. And so as journalists and individuals, when you write these articles, and these are very sensitive topics to some people, and we have to be cognizant of that, because we're trying, our desire is to change the mindset. Our desire is to bring peace within the communities, and our desire is to help our youth and help our adults to understand what strategic planning is. And having, you know, tension-bearing titles is not going to help it at all. People have their opinions. We need to be respectful of their opinions. If she said that, and we're looking at videos and things online that basically says the same thing, that we need to do something different, then instead of slamming people, let's come up and say, okay, help us with the solution. That's how you utilize those individuals who disagree. Help with the solution. Don't be the problem. Be the solution. I just said that. Be the solution. And so we need to utilize these people who have visions and who understand the strategies instead of slamming them in articles. Because everyone is entitled to their opinion. Everyone is entitled. And she has an opinion, and so does the protesters. And they're entitled to their opinions as well. But as far as this article is concerned, and I'm wrapping this up, it is very much so true that leadership is needed. There needs to be a plan in place. There needs to be communication. The demonstrations will help bring much more peace to our youth and our police department. As far as our police department and our law enforcement, there needs to be more training, right? There also needs to be more investigations instead of just reacting. The 12-year-old young man who had the toy gun, there's no reason why he should have been shot and killed, yet he should have dropped the weapon when he was told to do it. You know, the caller called and said that this may be a fake gun. Investigate it before just shooting him. That's a life loss. Our days are numbered. I understand that. All of our days are numbered. But there is a way in which we help to prolong life as long as the Lord allows us to. Okay? So that is a synopsis. And we're going to review tomorrow the fact that character is worth way more than name brand. Character is worth is worth way more than name brand. All right, I have several callers on the line. If you would like to say something at this time, you're more than welcome to. I'll pause for a couple of seconds if you would like to say something. Okay. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. We will have many more talks concerning different things going on within the community, because I really believe in this program, Save Our Youth, that I'm going to bring to the forefront. And part of this program encompasses the pieces such as this, because our children are actually looking at us. When we look on TV and we see people just destroying churches and flipping over police cars, then what do we send out to our children, to our youth? That it's okay to be angry, and it's okay to throw things, it's okay to destroy things when you're angry. And then they go out and do that, and their lives are put at stake because they do that. So we need to make sure, all right, we need to make sure that we are planning and we are preparing and we're doing what we need to do in order to help each other. We need to work in a unified way. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's very important that we work together as a team, because like she said, and I totally agree with her, and it's not because she's Oprah Winfrey, because if she said something that I didn't agree with, I'd say I totally disagree with this. But I agree with this. We do need leadership. We do need planning. We need communication, and we need to execute things in a decent and orderly fashion, and that has not been happening. If you look at the YouTube videos, if you look at all the fatalities and the people who have suffered from these marches, it is unnecessary. Okay? And so on both sides, on the police side and on the youth side and the community side, we need to do better. We need to stop being hard-headed. We need to stop reacting. And we need to start investigating more. And we need to start listening. And that will preserve many lives. Please continue to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedalove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, writers, actors, actress, journalism, individuals, any type of positive community leaders, please, please, please Facebook Alfreda Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. In addition to that, make sure you are praying for 330 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. And also pray for those you know and those who you don't know. Pray for the bereaved families. And just pray for everybody. We just cover everybody. Once we cover everybody, then everybody's covered, okay? In addition to that, make sure that you get out your calendars and mark the first Saturday in June, in Waco, Texas. We're going to have the Save Our Youth program, and we're going to deal with some of these subjects. We're also going to have a talent show, so be sure to mark your calendars and make sure that you're available on that day. I'm going to give you more information on my Facebook page. In addition to that, just make sure that you continue to stay lifted up. Make sure you continue to keep your eyes on the prize, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so just make sure that you keep on keeping on and keep on doing what the Lord has asked you to do. And when you continue to do what the Lord has asked you to do, he will continue to bless you. Amen. And sometimes even when we're hard-headed, God still shows his favor unto us to let us know that he loves us in spite of. If someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. And remember, I do recommend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto you. And I pray that on tomorrow, God's will, that you will find yourself in the house of the Lord. And as I said before, the house of the Lord begins in your heart. But God says it's good for brothers and sisters to dwell in the house of the Lord. There is a therapy, because when you are in the house of the Lord with the like believers, you feel some type of spiritual energy. And so I hope on tomorrow that you will want to, you know, go to the house of the Lord and serve and pray unto God, because God is just that good. Until next time, which is tomorrow. Take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Elfrida Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.